Our family got home this afternoon. I knew we'd be getting in a little bit later from just a three-day camping trip. And so I've asked Brother Josh Shelburne if he would preach in my stead tonight. And he's going to, the Lord's been doing as they've been traveling with Brother Dwight Smith, evangelist. Brother, come preach to us.
Well, I thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach. It's a real privilege to be able to get up and give what God has laid upon your heart. For about a little over a year now, we've been traveling around with the Smiths. We have been just trying to plug in wherever he needs help. My wife helps out in the children's ministry where needed. Every now and then, I'll preach at Sundays on a Sunday school lesson. I do a little bit of soundboard when we do the Victory Gospel Crusades. We go out soul winning with whatever church we're at. And then my kids have the opportunity of doing a little bit of musical instruments and singing along with the Smiths. So it's really truly a blessing to be able to travel around with them and have first hands-on experience in the ministry. He's also been training me in how to preach and all sorts of different things, like ecclesiology and the study of Christ, the study of the Bible, so many different things. But some of the blessings that came of it is last November we were able to we were praying about a truck and a trailer, if this is what God had really had for us for the time being. And there was a church, Susanna, who was out of a church in Iowa, came and was helping along with the. And I was kind of looking and really hard looking, and then finally, out of the blue, she mentions that there was a missionary who had just finished furlough and was getting ready to sell a truck and a trailer, and that he was just about to list it that morning. So I give him a call and I ask him, you know, how much you're going to list it for. And God just aligned all our paths right up for that truck and trailer. So it was just truly a blessing, because before that we had been staying in people's houses and we had a dog. At one point we had five baby chickens. This was out in Ohio in a farm area. But, oh man, it's been a real journey for about a year and a half. Yeah, but tonight I'd like to speak to you on the subject of unconditional surrender. It's truly a burden in my heart, because I wouldn't be here in front of you if it wasn't my unconditional surrender. And at the end of my message, I'd like to give my testimony on how we even ended up here in North Carolina. Towards the end of World War II, the Allies redirected their attention to Japan after the surrender of Germany. They drew up terms for Japan's surrender called the Potsdam Declaration. This document would notify Japan of all the needs to be met in order for the war to come to an end. On July 26, 1945, U.S. pointed its West Coast radio transmitters towards Japanese home islands. They broadcasted the newly penned terms for surrender. At the same time, U.S. bombers dropped 3 million leaflets over Japanese islands. And then on August 6, 1945, America showed Japan just how serious they were, dropping the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima, killing an estimated 80,000 people. 3 days later, they dropped another one on Nagasaki, killing another 40,000 people. Finally, August 15th, Emperor Hirohito announced Japan's unconditional surrender. And again, I'd like to speak on unconditional surrender. Let's pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message you have given me, and I thank you for how you've worked in my own life and bringing me to where I'm at. I pray that what is brought before your people now would be you, and that I would just be able to step out of the way and you would speak through me through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one is the call. I'd like to see the call. In Luke 5, if you would, turn with me to Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'd like to take a look at Peter. And as you're turning there, I'd like you to imagine with me. You're sitting on a sandy shore called the Sea of Galilee. In the background, you can see beautiful green mountain ranges. There's a warm breeze picking up over the water, and it's blowing on your face, a little bit of sand blowing on your feet. You can smell the sweet smell of fish in the air. Seagulls are squawking. They're chasing down a piece of filleted fish, and they're fighting over it. As you pan to the left, you see men with their boats docked, men cleaning out their fishing nets. Behind you, you hear the noise of a crowd coming. And you look back, there's one man and a bunch of people following him. He walks down to the beach. He climbs out onto a boat because there's nowhere for him to turn around. And he ushers over a man that's cleaning out his net to come over, push him out a little so he can speak to the crowd. This man is Jesus. And the man he called with him is Peter. In Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, I'd like to read the account to you. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have nothing and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto the partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished in all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So what do we know about Peter? He's possibly in his late 30s. He's married. Jesus healed his mother-in-law at one point. He's a fisherman. He works hard daily working on catching fish, cleaning the nets, mending the nets, scrubbing down the boat so it doesn't smell too bad. He had a younger brother, Andrew, who was possibly John the Baptist's disciple. They were all looking for the true Messiah to come. And at first, they were looking for deliverance from the oppression of the Romans. They were under Roman captivity. So they were looking for a Messiah, possibly to deliver them from that. And also, they should have been also looking for the Messiah to deliver them from their sins. There's one thing for certain. It starts with accepting Christ as your Messiah. Whether you're a Christian here tonight, I always like to give the gospel as clear as possible. So in Romans 3:23, we see all have sinned and come short of the gospel, the glory of God. In Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners from the beginning of when Adam and Eve sinned and were cast out of the garden. We were all had that sin nature after that. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a gift presented here, and it's free, and it's through Jesus Christ. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we can see the plan of salvation is that we recognize we're sinners, that we repent of our sins and call upon Jesus as the only in one way to get to heaven, and have that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him as Jesus died, hung on the cross, was buried 3 days, and he rose again the third day. Once you are saved, Christ calls you to an unconditional surrender of your will and your flesh, and he wants you to surrender him fully in whatever path that might lead you. For me, it led me to a path of giving up. I worked 10 years on the railroad, and God had called me away from that as I was living for myself at the same time, but he called me away from that and into a full-time ministry of some aspect. So we see the call that God, Jesus is calling every Christian to full-time surrender of their free will and of their lives to wherever that aspect may lead you. Secondly, we see the denial in Matthew 26, 33 and 35. Peter answered and said unto him, talking to Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said the disciples. And then right across to 69 and through 75, we see Peter's denial. Now Jesus has, Judas Iscariot came in the Garden of Gethsemane and kissed Jesus, they took him to before Caiaphas now. And Peter is without and Jesus is within. And we see now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So here we see Peter's denial. You know, if I were in his shoes, I try to picture myself in Peter's shoes. Would I really want to put myself out there in possible chances of being tormented by the Romans? Maybe at this point he didn't know the Romans were going to crucify Jesus. But just the fact that who would take care of his family if he were to be caught up with Jesus being... He knew that the chief priests, they all wanted to kill him. They wanted to get rid of him. So he knew that at this point, Jesus was probably going to be put to death along with maybe his followers. So now Peter's starting to deny him. So just trying to put yourself in his shoes, which in America, maybe it's harder to be actually crucified or not crucified, but be persecuted. Maybe by words here and there, but really be taken out and beaten like some of these, before the Iron Curtain fell over in Russia and maybe still even now in Ukraine. And these Christians are being persecuted for their faith, and they need to really make a choice. Am I going to have an unconditional surrender to Christ, meaning possibly my life and my family being left behind? But in our shoes, we can, maybe it comes down to it that Christ asks you to surrender all and go to the mission field overseas or somewhere, and just having to give up just the nice things here in America that we have, that we oftentimes take it for granted. I'd like to go over to Matthew 16:23, it says, I can read that for you. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and keep and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Here we see Jesus saying to his disciples, deny your fleshly desires. Deny those things that that you might want to build up treasures here on earth, and look for eternal things. Look for the things that really matter in life. Surrendering all to Jesus, yielding your life to Him, and walking with Him every day, whatever aspect God, Jesus takes you that day, and whatever way the Holy Spirit guides you, just total surrender. Just to set your things above. And so we saw the call there. We saw the denial, how Peter denied. And lastly, I'd like to see the restoration in John 21, verse 15 and 17. John 21, verses 15 and 17, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." So here we see the restoration Jesus makes between Peter, and this is after Peter's denial of Jesus three times. It is thought that Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" because Peter denied him three times, meaning, "Peter, I forgive you for denying me three times. I want you to continue serving me. I want you to continue walking with me, and I have a plan for your life." Jesus said, "Do you agape me?" Agape is said, God's love is unconditional. "Peter, I forgive you for what you've done." But Peter replies, "I phileo you," meaning it's just a friendship love. And I ask you tonight, do you agape Jesus as he agapes you? He died and gave all to you. Are you willing to give all back to him? Lastly, I'd like to close with you with my testimony and how I ended up here. I was raised in a Christian home in Waterford, Connecticut. I went to K through 12th Christian high school. At the age of 7 or 8, I was sitting in church and I heard my pastor preach on hell. So that night I went home scared and asking my parents, how do I get out of going to hell? That night they gave me the clear gospel as I presented the message, how you repent of your sins, you turn to Jesus, and it's by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that that's how you can get to heaven. So that night I knelt by my bed and I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I felt, not that it's about feelings, but I felt peace and happiness over my little age of 7 and 8. Well, in my teen years, I knew God was calling me to full-time ministry, and I hate getting up in front and speaking in front of people. So I said, I don't really want to do that, God. Is there something else you can have for me? Well, he didn't exactly have something else for me. But I took my own path, and I got caught up with the wrong kids, drinking and doing things we shouldn't have been doing. At the age of 20, I was married, and shortly after that, I started work for the railroad, Amtrak, up there. And 10 years I worked there. I had 3 kids, and I would send them to church and Christian school, and I wanted them to have an understanding of God, a fear of God, and I really wanted them to serve God, but not quite me, which doesn't quite work out so good in the home. So I had 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in church, because I would go to church, but I would do my overtime when it was available on Sundays, making money and hoping that I would tithe better. Well, my wife, unbeknownst to me, started praying that God would do whatever it takes to get a hold of my life. And then she started this prayer about 2014. She started praying that. And then in 2016 is when my life turned upside down. We had 2 houses, both of them by the water. One was a rental house. We had multiple boats. We had a couple of cars. So the beginning of 2016, January, I lost the tenants to my rental house. Didn't happen for the rest of the year. In March, my son, Jaden, as you know, he started having bruises on the backside of his elbow, the backside of his knees. And my wife took him to the pediatrician, and they did some blood work there in their office. And they said,
he can't go home and wrestle with his brothers because there's a good chance he either has leukemia or an autoimmune disorder. So she takes him home and sets him aside, and we have to take him to another hospital later that night. And then as I got home that day, she tells me, I've been praying that God would do whatever it takes to get a hold of you, and this is the route it's starting to take us. Well, I was not happy, and really not happy. I said, I didn't even know what to say, really. So call up our parents. We send out a prayer request to our pastors, and people start praying all over. Well, we take him to the children's hospital about an hour away, and they run more blood work. And by this time, people had been praying all the way out to Arizona, everywhere that we had friends. And the doctor comes back about an hour later, and he says, I'm not sure what test they ran previously, but your son is good to go home. His blood count, everything, his platelets are all back to normal. You're free to take him home and back. My mom and my wife got a chance to witness to the doctors. He's like, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't believe in miracles, but whatever happened here, I can't really explain it. Well, in August, my wife comes down with what she has now is Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. It affects the nerves in her face. When she gets really stressed out, it'll flare up or bad diet or something like that. So she comes down with that, and she was part of my second income, work in real estate photography with her mom. And she has to slowly start cutting back on that. In November, I can't handle my second house, my rental house, not being vacant, so now I got to start fixing it up, and I start putting money into that, and we go into about $25,000 in debt in order to fix it and what we have accrued already with no tenants. Later November, I hit an ice storm coming home in the morning from work and smash up my so now we're down to one car. In December, my furnace blows, and it's up northeast Connecticut, so it's cold. And we do have a wood stove to stay warm, but our water heater was heated through the furnace. So, I mean, God's really working in my heart, and I'm struggling here. December, my garage door breaks. Now I got to walk outside the cold when I get home in the morning because I'm working nights. My wife's MacBook Pro breaks, so now we're down to completely one income. And then lastly in December, one of the last draws is I'm working a piece of equipment at night. And it has arms to it, and it brings in stone into the gauge with these arms. And it's hard to see. And then there's a catenary structure, electrical system of the railroad. I catch it on the, I catch the arm and it snaps. And then I hold up trains all morning, and I have to answer for it. And so I have to go home that day. I have to take 3 days off of work. And that morning, I was furious. I just knew she had been praying still that God would do whatever it takes to get a hold of me. And I started yelling. She started crying, and I felt really bad, but I just couldn't handle it anymore. God was just getting a hold of me this whole time. And that was the beginning where I had finally softened my heart to the things of God. And in January, God had blessed us and let us sell our house, in the second house, and we were able to pay off all our debt and then some. So it was just a huge blessing. Well, that's 2017 January, and then 2017 June, there's a Victory Gospel Crusade in Worcester, Mass. By Brother Smith, who we had just recently met. And Pastor Meter, my pastor up north, says, you guys got to come out, and you got to see all that God's doing. We're hitting the streets up there, and it's the city, so there's people nonstop walking by as you just pass out tracks. And people are getting saved, and it sounds super exciting. He's making it sound really exciting. So I looked to my wife, and I was like, we got to go check this out. This sounds fun. So we take some time off of work, and we go up there. And for the first time since I've been saved, I had the opportunity of leading a soul to Christ. And the joy I saw on this young boy's face, he's about 18, 19, and he just lit up with joy after he acknowledged Jesus as his Savior. And I was like, oh, man, I want to do that the rest of my life. So that just lit up a fire in me. Well, I was still struggling as to what to do with work and what to do with really complete surrender. I wasn't quite there. Finally, in November, a man, Gary Gilmer, who is an evangelist, came to our church. And the message that I really remember is he preached, are you laying up treasure here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt? or is it in heaven where it matters most for eternity? And that night, my wife and I went forward and we had unconditional surrender, as I spoke to you about, and it was peace and happiness and joy. And it did lead me to come here and be away from our family and up north and all that. But for you, who knows where it could take you. But I just want to urge and tell you that whatever step it is, that it is complete happiness and joy that God brings. And just to watch how Jesus answers every need of yours, whether it be clothing or just material things, food, or spiritual things, how he helps you prepare for a message or speaking to someone that you just first met on the side of the street. So those are some thoughts for you to think about tonight.